better than Taster's Choice, for God's sake.
Senka.
Taster's Choice.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, today the podcast is sponsored by Taster's Choice. Taster's Choice. It's not good, but drink it.
Yeah. Just because.
Have we started?
I just started, yeah. I skipped that. I erased that first bit.
Oh, yeah,
it's not the first time I've erased you doing exactly that.
So in the radio dynamic, you're like the crazy wild card guy?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's going to say anything.
I'm the voice of reason. Right, sure, that's okay. How stupid this podcast is.
I just want to understand the dynamic.
Yes.
Can I do the theme song, please?
Do the theme song. And there we go. This is Chase Everett.
This is Dan Cohen.
And
this is Mark Stepro.
And we are talking in the microphone. Except it's just one microphone again.
Because
we're on the road. We're in Norway again for the third time in the year of 2014. We came here in January to do some two promo gigs because Terra Rosa came out here in January. And then Dan came back here after our UK, France, Spanish tour. He came and did some solo dates in Norway. And I came back and did the Delana Blues Fest in Egerson, one-off gig, and then we came back here in, October 9th? Flew out October 8th as a power trio.
Which people are loving.
Yeah, they are, surprisingly.
It could be lying.
It could be. Oh, and that's a boiling pot of water, and we were in Mark and Dan's hotel room, which is probably three times the size of mine. But my bed is bigger, so I win.
Yeah, well, Mark and I don't care, because we're all snuggling in that one little bed anyway.
That's super gross.
Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Mark?
It's worth mentioning on the podcast, the European double room that's designed for two people, but has two single beds jammed next to one another.
Yes, they're always...
What's weird about that?
Well, like Dan said, even if you had two people that wanted to sleep in the same bed, you couldn't.
That wouldn't work.
Because they would each be in one tiny bed.
Yep.
Just gets pushed.
I've been in that situation.
And if they were, doing anything, like,
taxis
to each other, like sexing each other up,
right,
the beds would move apart. I mean, if they were doing it right.
Right. Well, you have to be gentle in Europe when you make the love, I guess. I don't know. Anyhow,
anyway.
How's the tour been going?
Is this mic omnidirectional?
Ostensibly, yes.
All right.
Should we check it and see?
I don't know.
How
I
do
just
you
feel
that?
Like maybe
let's,
I'm
let,
talking and nobody's...
We're going to pause the podcast. You just wait at home for just a minute. Let's try it on two or on three and see if it's better. Tell
let's
me a story.
Try that.
I think that's better.
Now we will try speaking.
I think that's better.
Hello? I will speak English.
Hello?
Okay.
I think it's good.
Does it seem better?
You don't yell at it.
Or am I just... I am not yelling. This is Stentorian. Stentorian robot speaking.
I think that sounds like the Will Ferrell character.
That's what
the voice modulation.
It's a glandular problem.
That was a great bit. Very good bit. So, Mark Stepro, who's never been on the podcast and probably never will be again because he's going to find it as banal and jejune as it actually is.
Don't forget tedious.
And tedious.
I'm just embarrassed about the sound of my voice.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, my voice sounds shitty on playback.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
See, we've spent enough time listening to our voices
right
being edited and tuned. We're like, oh, that's me.
I never, I'm always shocked at what a hillbilly I sound like.
Me too.
It's like, golly, man,
God
I didn't
damn.
Know I talked like that.
Yeah, but you got that deep baritone thing.
I do.
It's really
I do.
Good for radio.
That's what they say.
Yes.
That's what they tell me, Mark. It's funny that you should bring it up.
I do as well. ow. This hurts. I'm going to stop now.
So it's Mark Stepro's first time in Norway, and let's get a beat on where you're at.
As far as being in Norway is concerned, or as far as being on this tour is concerned?
Just as a person, where are you at?
That's a good question.
What's your T-cell count
at
right
know
now?
I was saying to Dan, I left my house, like, September 9th.
Yeah, you've been...
To go to...
Your passport looks crazy, man.
So, I'm kind of losing it, you know, at some extent. It's just been a while since I've been home, but...
You think your wife is going to be there when you get back?
Unclear. I don't know. Okay. No, we're good. She's been in Atlanta working on this TV show that she works on, so she's been... To say she's been occupied is an understatement, so that's good.
What's the TV show she writes for?
Can you say?
Yeah, it's on ABC, and it's called Resurrection, and it's funny, it was on at the gym.
That's cool.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's kind of neat to know that it's in Norway. Like, every once in a while when she'll get a residual check, it'll be like... You know, for airplay in Slovenia or whatever, which is kind of cool.
Oh, hold on. All's good. Just had a mild panic attack there. Don't worry about it.
Technically?
Yeah.
Oh.
They happen.
Because I'm an idiot.
Pretty often.
So she's a script writer?
Yeah, she's a screenwriter. They write the show in Burbank on the Disney studio, and they film the show in Atlanta, and... It sort of functions as like a creative writing class in college, so it's like this week is Dan's turn to bring in a piece.
Right.
So you work that the week prior to that, and then you bring the piece in, you know, say it's a poem or a short story or whatever, and it gets workshopped by the room or the kids in your class or whatever. So it's just like that with a script. So the week prior to her script, air quotes, she's like writing the whole thing. Then she comes into the room and all the writers sort of pick it apart and... assess how well if you do this in Act 3, the thing that I'm going to do in 4 more scripts, it needs to line up with this, and they make sure that it's consistent sort of chronologically and that it makes sense within the whole scheme of what's supposed to happen, and then they film it in Atlanta, and that writer, in this case my wife, she goes to the set and sort of functions as like a, not a director, but it's this sort of overall producer where like costume people will come up to her and ask her, you know, should the actors wear this or this? Or the director will, show her the shots that he or she has gotten. Actors will ask her about lines and that kind of stuff. So she basically just goes around and bosses people around on the set for 10 to 14 days when they're shooting her episode. And then she goes back to California, and then another writer flies out to Atlanta, and they start the whole process over again.
Is your wife single? She sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that my bad?
I don't know how that.
So when these people come up to her and ask her these questions about their characters and the costumes, is her answer ever
No, well, that's funny. I think, you know,
would Letitia wear blue pumps?
Yeah. That's funny. I mean, she definitely deals with some overzealous actors that, you know, are like super into like... Yeah.
You want to name names on the podcast? There's only about 500 listeners. It's not that big a deal.
I don't know their names, but...
I talk shit about people all the time.
But, you know, sometimes people maybe overdo it or whatever. But the thing is, you're asking about if she ever just says, I don't know. The tough part about her gig is that she can't say, I don't know. Like, she's getting paid to know. Like, so for example...
It sounds like you'd like that gig, Chase.
Yeah, just bloviate and just say, oh, yes, well, the answer is green.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's just like...
Because it's not like there is a right answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, aesthetically, there is. If she's got the script together, she has an aesthetic
whatever she thinks is the answer is the answer.
Sort of. I'm just thinking more in terms of, like, when they're breaking a script and, like, when they're getting it together, like, when they're making this overall outline of, like, this, and this need to happen in this episode... And there's, you know, this writer's room. It just sort of looks like a bigger version of this room where it's a table with snacks and laptops and 10, you know, writers or whatever. And then the showrunner who runs the whole thing, the head writer, will come in and just say, you know, Dan, I need 3 ideas for what's going to happen to the secondary character midway through the first act of episode 102.
Got it. Shot in the head.
Exactly.
Raped.
Yeah. Well,
hit with a ball. What else you got?
As soon as you do not point to him and do that. If you want to be remotely serious, which is a terrible idea, but if you want to be remotely serious, don't look at Dan.
Got it.
Dan's never listened to this podcast, and if he ever does, he will likely either laugh himself to death or die of shame.
Oh, God.
Well, that's cool. And then your job, she's big time Hollywood, and your job is to hang around with knuckleheads like me.
My job is to come to Norway and drink some beer and play some shuffles.
We don't even play that many shuffles, do we?
When we play the blues festival, we play the shuffle.
I just keep saying
like the black man music. for the soul.
Yeah, the Norwegians possibly, certainly right up in the top three of the whitest people of history.
Yeah, when you get a bunch of them dancing,
wow.
Or clapping along to a song.
Yeah, that's
yeah, one and three.
On one and three, or one, two, three, and four. Mm-hmm. But not together. But boy, the Blues Festival in Svalbard. Bluesy, 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 bluesy,
bluesy, bluesy, bluesy, bluesy, bluesy, bluesy, bluesy. Just unending 12-bar blues.
And there was, it was, first of all, we're going to take the piss because that's what we do, but it was very fun.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Super
fun. A joy to be there. I hope to go back sooner than later, possibly next year, certainly the year after, if they'll have us. Because
super fun for me, and I don't even drink.
Yeah. Yeah, you really got into, well, the first year we did it, you were blacked out in your room, sick. As I was the last night we were there.
Which was 2 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago.
2012. But yeah, the people are cool, man. Yeah. They're fun. And they weren't as drunk this go-around as they were two years ago. That Saturday night got really ugly.
I was preparing for a real bloodbath.
So was I. And that's why I exited as soon as we finished playing. But it's cool to get invited to that because we're not a blues band at all. We played Jay Severett songs, which no one knows what genre that is, including Jay Severett. But they invite us, and people seem to dig it. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. I think they're getting more, like that band Pristine was there, and they're definitely not
blues. Yeah, well, Orbo. Ula's band is like the Norwegian Tom Petty, you know, in a way.
I don't know if it's blues festivals in general or just that blues festival, but they seem pretty, even though those outliers that you just mentioned, like, they seem pretty purist about it. Like, the Jam Night, remember, was totally blues.
Certainly the bands are. Certain bands are that are blues guys. They're definitely purists.
But think about all the, like, blues and, like Jazz Fest in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, that's headlined by, like, My Morning Jacket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it seems like over here they're just super, like, into, like, having
a... Well, in Norway they have all these blues clubs. Like, even Lillestrøm has a blues club.
Yeah,
so there's these blues clubs in all these towns. And and you've got guys that make a living going around playing 12 bar.
Yep.
Oh, you know, that Sven guy from Sweden, he's, like, 62 years old, and he's, like, a Scandinavian famous blues man. And he looks a lot like Robin Williams meets Bono if they were Swiss.
Does.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
He's got that same profile in the chin and the nose. Sweetheart of a guy, blows harp, plays guitar, sings Chicago blues.
I remember, I have to say, as most people who know me know, I do not like the harmonica.
That's true, you don't.
At all. And as we were, Mark and I were going through, we were leaving the festival, we're in the airport, and I was going through security. I was like, thank God, at least I don't have to hear any more harmonica. Then we get into the waiting area.
Yeah, that didn't last long. Whoever was doing that got shut down.
Yes.
Thank God.
I don't know if it was Sven or somebody else, but somebody's like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
It's been a long weekend.
Enough.
Yeah.
So
but everyone was lovely.
They were.
And there's very little, like, ego. This is like, you know, kind of check your ego at the door situation, because we might all be eaten by a polar bear at any moment.
Yeah, well, it's like being at summer camp, except it's the winter. And, we're all living literally, quite literally, on top of each other, eating in the same room two and three times a day.
Yeah.
You pass the same fucker six times a day, and eventually you don't even wave anymore. You're just like, and keep walking. So, yeah, you don't really want to make enemies in that environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I usually do. But you don't want to.
You don't want to.
No. So we got here and we did a little rehearsal. Our second rehearsal as a band. I've been playing bass on this tour. Mark's on drums and singing. Dan's on guitar and singing. And then we went into a weekend of shows. And it felt good, man. I mean, there's been some times where I'm certainly a little outclassed by my compatriots.
But
I feel like I have. I mean, there's just, you know, every once in a while you're like, oh, shit, what are these? And you look at your hands and wonder how you got there.
Well, that happens to all of us.
But when it happens on bass,
it's
kind of it's like a crack in the foundation as opposed to a missing shingle. It's a bit of a problem.
Well, you should have chosen to play guitar. It's a lot easier.
It's not.
Oh, it is.
But that is the honorable thing about bass playing, right? It's like you basically can't mess up.
Yeah,
you know, like you can't, or how do I say it? you can't really fudge anything. Like if you're playing a G and you're playing an F sharp, like that's like a problem. Like, there's just no way around.
Well, I just explained it away as I was experimenting, kind of an Ornette Coleman vibe.
Reharmonizing?
On bad things. How would Ornette harmonize the bass line on bad things?
Which is obviously a great platform for improvisation for most people.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what are your impressions of Norway, Stepper?
Beautiful scenery, beautiful people. It's more or less as I expected it to be.
No?
Just based on, you know, what I've read and seen on television and stuff. Friendly people, serious people, drink a lot on Saturday night. They like the blues. They like pickled things.
They do.
Fish-based things. What was last night?
Lutefisk.
Lutefisk.
Oh, lutefisk, yes.
Lutefisk?
Lutefisk.
Why do I keep wanting to say lutefisk?
I feel like Runus said what you said.
Lutefisk.
I thought there's an F in there.
Lutefisk.
Lutefisk?
Oh, let me check that pin.
Either way, do you want to describe what it is?
Oh, well, they take this fish. What is it, like cod, haddock, something?
I believe it's...
They dry it out. Mm. And then years, decades later, they decide to eat it. And they're like, well, how should we soften this up again? And they, at some point, decided that they would soak it in water and lye. Which is, you know, soap.
Yeah.
Poison.
It's what you put on a dead body.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Until it's this gelatinous, stinky, horrible mess. And then they eat it.
Did you see it? Did you see it on the plate yesterday?
I didn't see it yesterday.
The plates were
cleared.
Because I wonder, is it like, do you like scoop it? I mean, do you put it on mashed potatoes or something? Like, what is it even? Like, is it like a jello?
I've just seen it on a plate, sometimes with usually with potatoes.
So what does it look like? Is it like something you would scoop? It's not like a fillet of fish.
Well, it's sort of, I mean, it looks like it used to be fish.
Yeah.
It no longer really sort of looks like fish, right? It's sort of...
I tried it once.
Yeah.
And when I tried it, it was laid out like fish.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But like,
and it was really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I promised myself to never try it again.
That's the thing about traveling, right?
It's like haggis, first time I tried haggis, I hated it. But I was in the States at a mm-hmm. Burns party. So then when I was in Aberdeen,
yeah,
or outside of Aberdeen, up in the woods. Oh, you're right, lutefisk, no F, my bad.
They gave us T-shirts.
They did. But I had it in Scotland
mm-hmm.
with locally sourced ingredients made, and it was wonderful.
Really?
Haggis. I loved it.
Hmm.
So I just decided when you have haggis, it's important to be in Scotland.
Yeah.
And when you have lutefisk, it's important to not have it.
Just to not eat it.
Yeah.
I've never tried it. I've never tried it. If they'd had it last night, I would have had a taste.
I just wanted, like, that's the thing about traveling, like, I just want to decide on a case by case basis if I want to like be adventurous
yeah.
and like explore the local. Sometimes you know
well,
what I mean.
This
like,
trip we've been very lucky because we've had three home cooked meals
yeah,
at least,
yeah.
and two
yep.
of them in people's homes.
Shitcock with brown sauce.
Yep.
That's right.
A lot of that.
It's shitcocking, but all we heard was shitcock with brown sauce.
Oh.
And then we had shitcock again.
Like
a
the
couple
next
of
day,
days
yeah.
later.
And it's different. It's kind of like going to somebody's house and getting spaghetti and meatballs homemade.
Mm-hmm.
It's different every place you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some are better than others.
But all three examples of the times that we had meals at people's houses, it was super, like normal food. You know what I mean? There wasn't any really crazy fish
right.
or, like,
right.
bizarre haggis.
Well, and I think
reindeer.
I think part of that's because they know that Yankees are coming. They're
that
like, yeah, they're not going to eat that.
That could be.
So that
but
could.
I think that's also, like, when we played at the Lutefisk Festival, it was an older crowd
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
I think the older generation is eating lutefisk.
Yeah, the young people, the primary cuisine, literally, in Norway now, is a frozen pizza.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, because it's also terrible.
Yep.
Yes.
But also really bad for you. Pepe's Pizza sucks, people.
It's terrible.
Quit eating there.
It's really bad.
It's overpriced and not good.
It's so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, I find myself at breakfast now either eating mueslix and yogurt to combat the antibiotics I'm on, which is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I hate yogurt. Or just eating smoked salmon and drinking coffee.
Oh, yeah, I eat the shit out of smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they have mackerel, I'll eat mackerel in the morning. Yeah.
Mm. Feel Japanese almost.
Yeah. Start craving fish in the morning.
Yeah, it's weird.
And there were these guys down the street, and they were giving away, or they were trying to sell these vitamins, these omega-3 vitamin supplement things. And I said, "You're in Norway. Everybody eats fish all the time. They don't need omega-3.
They don't need vitamins that go into their urinary tract and expel 80% of what you just ingested.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I need to take my vitamins. So anyway, this isn't very entertaining to the kids at home. They're used to a much more ribald, humorous thing. So we need to tell some stories, probably about Mark, the stupid things he's been doing.
So many stupid things.
Can't think of anything really though.
Well, the best stories we can't share, obviously.
That's true.
Shit.
Rampant drug use, prostitution.
Yeah. It's been pretty mellow.
Yeah, I mean, if you take out the drugs and the prostitution and the...
Yeah.
The gay stuff.
The gay stuff. There's not really a lot left.
It's mostly what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just traveling, farting.
Yeah.
What else? What
other? I got really sick in Svalbard.
You got really sick?
Mm-hmm. Had about 103 temperature Sunday night. Had some crazy hallucinations and dreams that were awesome. Not really. I was kind of freaked out, really. And then we got to spend 6 hours on planes the next day.
Yeah, that was a long day.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
We can talk about Runa.
Runa!
Runa!
Yes.
Runa is our Norwegian, air quotes, fixer.
Tour manager.
Fixer.
Die.
And he has two major quotes. It's not possible.
It's not possible.
It's possible.
It is possible. It is not possible.
Runa weighs about 400 pounds. He has what he calls a 2012 Peugeot wagon that was purchased in 1998, used.
Yeah.
Runa is a wonderful man, very sweet, very sharp.
Yeah. He's booking and he's driving booking shows and sort of doing advanced
driving
stuff.
Us around, and it's kind of cool because Bad Things was a big hit here in Norway and still gets overplayed on the radio, for which I apologize. Because I don't make that much money off of it, so I'm sorry you're all subjected to it. But I'm a quasi big deal here. I'm like sub famous. There's famous people, and I'm right beneath famous people. And yet we show up to these gigs in a '98 Peugeot,
like that.
The fucking Beverly Hillbillies.
I think that's kind of punk, though.
Oh, me too. It totally is. It's like, yeah, we're rock and roll, baby. We load our own shit in. Yeah. We're wrapping our own cables.
Yep.
Several of the gigs I've run sound from stage.
Yeah. Yep.
It's been keeping it real, man.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig it. I kind of dig it. But yeah, the car is terrible, though. Mm-hmm. He came to pick us up in this piece of shit Peugeot, opened the trunk, and we have between us about 6 bags, 2 guitars, snare drum, cymbals, stick bag, and some backpacks. And there's just
a lot of shit
in his car.
Yep.
Pepsi Max bottles, groceries from I don't know when. And this is always the way in Norway.
I was going to say, the standard response by the European guy picking up a band at the airport. Like, oh, you guys brought guitars?
Oh, you brought things with you.
I don't know how we're going to do that.
Dude, we're going to be...
car seat and these three cases of Ramlosa.
Yeah.
And,
non-alcoholic beer.
Perfect.
Some Lipton iced tea bags. Anyway, that's kind of how that works. We get to see our buddy Nick and our buddy Ulla up in Svalbard. Ulla's from Bergen, or Oos, technically. He's the leader of the band Orbo, which we all three love.
Mm-hmm.
Nick lives up in Svalbard for now, and we get to have some fun hijinks with him. You guys actually
get his awesome wife, Turil.
Yeah, she is awesome. She is awesome. So we had a good time with them. Radar was there, of course, on keys and drinking.
Yes.
As he do. So it's been fun.
One night, when you were sick, people got drunk and were mean to Mark.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Which was very weird.
Yeah, Mark's possibly the nicest person in Norway at present.
There's like 4 separate instances in one day.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It's not even worth expounding on. It's complicated.
It is complicated.
It might be worth expanding on.
Just a bunch, like just four of those interpersonal situations where you're like, why did you just say that to me right now? Like, what is happening?
It was very strange.
I don't know.
Well, you're a very nice person, and you're not throwing out this alpha dog, get out of my way vibe. And so sometimes I find when women drink too much.
Two of the situations were those.
Yeah. When you find a woman that drinks too much and then gets sweet and goes to sleep, hang out with that woman. Because she's a rare bird out in the wood and you must cherish her for days. Because a lot of women, and I'm not being misogynistic, I'm just saying a lot of women that I have met in my personal experience of 42 years, when they begin to drink, many things that they've been repressing and their sobriety begin to come out in very ugly ways. And I feel that you may have met two of those women.
It was two women that had too much to drink and then two band dudes just being boners. You know what I mean? And in the case of the two women that had too much to drink, it was the thing, the like mean humor thing.
Yeah.
Like, which I just am really bad at that.
Yeah.
Like the like cutting on somebody, particularly somebody that you don't know. As like, that's going to be like our thing that we're going to do, and I'm going to like bust your balls in front of all these people. And it's like, I don't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not your scene.
It's just not my scene. I get that some people do that, but I can't fall into that and like riff on that when somebody starts doing it. I'm generally just like, okay, I'm...
I don't really do well at that either. I tend to either go like way the extreme, like way too mean, and then it's not funny anymore. Actually, that's what I do. Yeah, well, you're ugly and your mother's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But nobody loves you. Why are you so thin?
You
look
in
terrible.
To somebody.
Ha!
You're doing that as like a reaction. You're not. Your
no.
Default isn't to go up and tell somebody that they're ugly.
No.
You know.
Well. No.
Yeah.
I'm super nice to everybody all the time.
You are super polite to people all the time.
I like how you directed that. You're super polite.
No, I've noticed. I mean, that's important.
I try to be polite.
And you and I are the same, where if we're super polite to people, and then if somebody starts acting rude to us, like, it gets really annoying, like, really fast.
Yeah, I don't deal with that very well.
Yeah. If somebody's just outright, like, rude to you, like, right out of the gate, it's like, it's a really upsetting thing, because that's just not how, you know.
Or when they're, like, really kissing your ass, but you can see the clouds on the horizon, and you know that there's an agenda.
That's a weird thing.
That, especially as the night goes on, whether I've been drinking or not, if I'm just getting tired, once I get tired, I have very little patience for anything, including myself.
What do you mean the clouds on the horizon?
You can tell with certain kinds of personalities, where like, hey man, you did a really great job, and I was wondering if you could, you know, come over here and take a selfie with me and my friend, and then and you're like, okay, I'll do that, but then you know that more is on the way.
Sure. Okay.
And then they want you to come back to the house and have a barbecue, and it's 3 a.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they offer you
$25,000 to have a barbecue.
Hang out with them.
Yeah. If you have to offer money for a band to come back to your house and hang out with you, don't.
Did that guy get weird after you turned him down?
He got kind of weirder.
Okay.
I mean, the initial offer was strange enough.
Yeah, because that's the.
I mean, basically offered us $4,000 to come hang out at his house.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we would have had to have sex with him.
I don't think he was going to be up for it.
Well, like Runa was saying, like,
I don't think he would have been awake for it.
I don't know if he had $4,000, too. You know what I mean?
No, his wife and this other girl were on their way to the ATM. I was like, this is
that's
just
even worse.
Weird.
Yeah,
that's
worse.
It's really weird.
Runa came up to me, he's like, this guy is offering $25,000, 25,000 kroner for you to go for an after party. And I was like, I hope you're kidding. And then I walked away.
And then Runa comes up to me.
Kidding.
I just saw Dan be angry for the first time. I said, well, stick around.
Yeah.
You're going to see it again.
Yeah, when the night gets stupid and everybody gets fucking drunk, Dan tends to get mad.
And Dan has stayed sober, not just with alcohol, which I wasn't concerned about, but Dan has not smoked.
Yeah, I had 2 cigarettes in Svalbard.
Did you really?
Yes.
Ah, you motherfucker.
Yep.
High five.
Yeah.
You were supposed to tell me.
I know, but I wasn't, like, hiding it. It's just you weren't around.
Maybe you're on your sick bed.
Sorry, Mom.
Did they taste terrible?
Not very good.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was not pleasurable, really.
You got to start.
Still, I smoke too.
You got to start drinking to make them taste okay.
Yeah, that's when they taste good.
Got to wait till you really hear them be like, "This tastes fine. Give me a pack." And then your whole life can just go down the drain slowly.
Well, everybody thinks there's like a precipice where like first you smoke and then you drink and then you got a needle in your arm.
Right.
And it's not, it's really kind of not like that. Like,
no, I always start with a needle.
Oh, good, man.
Not my arm.
And your dick? Needle?
Cross-stitch?
Right in the...
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Between the toes? Like in the spring?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple cigarettes. Prince cigarettes, too, which are extremely strong.
They are. They're a little strong. We got just a few shows left. Two shows today.
Mm-hmm.
One show tomorrow. One show Saturday. And then one show Sunday, which is playing the playback. I will be lip-syncing in a football stadium like an asshole. You know how much money I'm getting paid for that?
To play back.
$0.
Ooh.
It's promo.
Wow.
I may have to develop a worse cold between now and then.
Why? Okay.
Are you playing, Dan? I know I'm not playing because Asla told me it's not possible because of like the drums, like I can't, they don't even.
I think I'll just do it. I don't think I'll subject Dan to that.
It doesn't sound like something I need to be involved
in. Doesn't sound like something I need to be involved in.
Really? Are you going to have your guitar?
Yeah.
Be like playing?
I may have your guitar.
Okay. Electric guitar?
Yeah.
You're just like doing.
Actually, I'm thinking about mocking the whole thing.
Yeah.
And at various points, because it's probably on a jumbotron. At various points, just stop moving my mouth.
You could also
do jazz hands.
You could just tell.
Just to
like,
be a cunt.
You could also just get in and get out as fast as possible, and just tell him like I don't want to hang around because I think he has it in his mind that you're going to walk around the stands and just like go up to people and go, "Hi, I'm Jace Everett. Like I'm here to." Sing you my
See,
song.
See, now that has not been expressed to me.
Oh, yeah, that's what he was saying.
That's his plan,
yeah.
That's what you're going to do.
See, he knows me well enough to not tell me these. I guess Runa and I are going to have a little tête-à-tête.
Well, I'm saying you could just be like, dude, just like wheel me out at halftime, and then I'm getting back in the car, and go like just take me back to the hotel.
Why do I say yes to things? Jesus.
Well, it will put you in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can die from exposure.
Yeah, yeah. The Canadian joke. Yep.
Is that true. A Canadian joke?
Yeah, I've heard a bunch of Canadians say that.
Damn it, I thought I made that.
I get it. I totally get it. But, on the other hand, you know, I say this to people like Butch Walker and stuff. It's like you're 99% more successful than all the people who own guitars. So think about the dudes who would...
So that makes me like 89% more successful than all the people, because Butch is much more successful than I.
That's still a pretty good number.
What I mean is, like, think about all the guys who would be, like, elated to be told that, oh, we're going to let you sing your song at this football match, and there's going to be a couple thousand people.
Yeah, I don't like those people that would be elated to do that. Those people are asshats should sell their guitar and get into... masturbation videos or something. I don't know.
It's a different.
I've said this 1,000 times. If you do music because you want to be famous or rich, please stop doing music.
Yeah.
You are the problem. Yeah, do music to do music. That's the reward.
Well, right? I think the music industry sort of taken care of that for us. Like, you're not going to be famous and rich by making music anymore.
No, you're only going to be famous and rich by being famous.
Yeah, yeah. So in a way, it's like if you're going to devote your life to doing music, like, the, you know.
I had a dream during my fevers that I went on The Voice.
Ooh.
I've had other musician, singer, songwriter friends
it was
have
rough.
The same stress dream.
It was
you,
rough.
Were you naked?
Nope. Fully clothed, and I sang Bad Things and Your Man and just said, fuck it, dude. And no one turned around. And I said, well, I don't give a shit because I wrote those two songs. And they were all like, oh, we didn't. Well, why are you here? And I was like, because I'm not famous and I need money. I'm broke.
Get me paid.
I have an ex-wife to support. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Well, it's been a very long podcast with not a lot of funny jokes or stories, so we should probably wrap it up because we have to go. We have to go pack up our toys. But a big shout out to Ula and Nick and Ramona and Sven and Billy T.
Radar
and Marius, Johan,
Eric,
and Truda.
Yeah. Eric.
Mm-hmm.
All the peeps.
The crew.
And Tour. Keeping
it real. And we'll talk to you next time from Nashville. I got some shows coming up in Nashville. We got a festival on November 15th. We're playing as a trio. Sadly, Mark won't be with us, but Casey will be back on the throne playing drums. And then we're doing a trio show December 22nd at the Basement in Nashville at 9 o'clock. Dan Cohen's going to do a set.
Woo-hoo.
Jay Server Trio is going to do a set, and
James, call me back. I need a bass player.
David Newbold's going to do a set, so check that out. I'll put the dates up on the website.
Mark, just kidding. James doesn't listen to this podcast.
Very few men do.
If there's any bass players out there, give me a call.
Yeah, it doesn't pay anything, so just ring us up.
Exposure.
Thanks for listening. Talking into microphones. This is Jay Server.
It's Dan Cohen. Bye, y'all.
Mark Stepro. Bye, bye.
Peace.